Do you want to welcome everyone here to our service today? Glad to be here, and hopefully God can continue to speak to us through what he has led me to share. Sort of struggling this week knowing what to share, what should I share, but I felt God leading me in something that he's trying to teach me personally, I guess. So with me sharing this, it's not like I know what I'm actually talking about. I guess, I shouldn't say that necessarily, but not that I have experienced it fully that I want to anyway. But where I'm getting my title from is Matthew 6:33. Probably know that one by memory. It's, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Jesus, and before this verse here, he was talking about we shouldn't be worrying about things, whether it's our clothes, what we wear, what we eat, what we drink. But what should we be worrying about? What should we be thinking on? And he said, seek first the kingdom of God. And oftentimes for myself, I find, you know, I'm challenged, or God has been challenging me lately. What am I seeking? What am I thinking about? What am I pursuing? What are my goals in life? A lot of times I have to say, you know, I tend to be thinking on things down here. I get caught up in, you know, how am I going to, you know, I got to make a little bit more money. I got some bills I need to pay. I got this happening this week. And I'm not pursuing the kingdom of God like it says here, that this should be our first priority. So I wanted to look at a little bit what it means to seek the kingdom of God. I'm sure I'm not going to cover everything, but just some things that I feel God has challenged me with. I guess you could call these maybe marks or characteristics of a person that is seeking God first in his life. I have three different things I want to talk about. First one's very simple, and that is believe in God. And it's a simple statement, but I think if we really dive into it, it has a drastic change, and it's going to have a drastic change on our lives. In John 3:16, we have the familiar verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And the key word here, of course, is believe. In the Greek, that the definition there for that word is to put faith in or to entrust, especially one's spiritual well-being. But in today's society, a lot of people, you know, they'll tell you, if you ask them if they believe in Jesus, they'll say, yeah, I believe in Jesus. And so it seems to me like it's sort of a vague comment. It's something that people say very quickly. But that's not what I'm talking about when I'm saying believe in God. The belief that we should have in God is something that is not just something that we know. We believe that Jesus exists, but it's actually something that produces change in our lives. It's something that causes us to alter the course of our life. It alters the course of our life, and it produces action in our lives. It's a transforming belief. In Romans 10:8-10, it sort of has, I love the verses there. It says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Again, this is reiterating the kind of faith that we should have, the kind of belief in God that we should have. It causes change to happen in our lives. And here in Romans, it talks about believing in our heart, not just in our head. It's something that needs to happen in our heart, and then also confession with our mouth. It causes repentance in our lives, causes a transformation to happen. And also I want to go to James 2 and read some verses there. In James 2, we'll read verses 14-25. It says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. That thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and works and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. The word faith here used here in James is actually comes from the same Greek word that believe is in John 3:16. And so it's basically saying the same thing. Our faith in God should be producing works. If it's not, it's the dead faith that it talks about here. So is my faith, and also in verse 19, it brings that out that, you know, we believe, if you believe there's a God, well, the devils also believe that too. But what's the difference between our belief and those? You know, the belief that we have in God causes us to obey what God is wanting us to do. So it should be bringing forth works out of our lives. And so that is what the difference is between that and what the devils believe. So seeking first the kingdom of God starts with a faith that brings change in our lives. So is the faith that you have in Christ, is it bringing forth change? It's something that's not going to just be a one-time thing. At least it's not in my life. I feel like, you know, it should start be changing me now, and it's going to continue to change me as I continue to learn more about God. But so the first thing I want to make is the faith. Seeking first the kingdom of God starts with a faith that transforms our lives and produces change. The second point I want to look at, I want to read John 15:1-8, so you can turn there. I love this passage of scripture. John 15:1-8. And the title I have, or the statement I have for this is, Abide in God and in His Word. Verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. So abiding in God is actually one of the vital parts of being a Christian, of us being able to seek after Him. And in this chapter, in the verses that I just read, I love the way it speaks of our connection with the Father. How do we get this connection? Well, if you meet a new person, how do you get to know a person? You don't really just get to know them by, well, every now and then you bump into them and then you wait for another month and you see them again. You probably aren't going to feel too connected with that person. The ones that you really get connected to are the ones that you spend a lot of time with, the ones that you communicate often with. That's how we get to know somebody. And I think that's the same way we get to know God. Obviously, they're not a physical person, but He did give us His anointed word that if we spend time in, if we read, we get to know His character, we get to know what He desires for us, we get to know even who we are as individuals before Him and what His plan is for our lives. And so this is very huge for us as Christians, as followers of God. If we want to be people that are known to seek after seek the kingdom of God first. We need to be one people that are abiding in his word, abiding in his presence. And then also in these verses, it talks about, it gives the analogy of, you know, how branches are connected to the vine, and that's where they're getting their life. The same way the Christian gets their strength from being connected to God. That's the only way that we have strength. It's the only way we have life, is if we're connected to the Father. This one is probably the biggest thing for me personally that I feel like, you know, I've been praying about to God about how I want to be connected more. I feel like I'm disconnected and want to be able to hear his voice a little better and just be a little bit more connected to him. And I think the answer that he gave me is, well, abide in me and I will abide in you. It's a big thing for us Christians. I mean, for some reason, we can very quickly, at least for myself, I can get busy during the week. And, you know, this, I'll come Monday morning, I'm like, well, I was pretty tired from Sunday night. I'll get up just in time to go to work, and I don't spend my morning with God. And if we want to be seeking God first, if this is actually important in our lives, then we will make time to abide in his presence, abide in his word. Jesus gave it, we talked about it in our Sunday school when we had the lessons in Mark. Oftentimes Jesus, when he was on his ministry, he took the time he needed to go spend with his Father. Often he would go take some time, go by himself, go spend time with his Father. And I think he did that, and he had it written in the Bible for a reason, because he knew that it was important for him there as well, but it's also important for us that we are connected to God, first of all, and in order for us to gain strength to live life and to be people that have life in us. So a big one for me personally, and I think it's for all of us, that I don't think we'll ever do enough time abiding in God and spending time in his presence. All right, number three, this third point. If I can find it here. I have, keep my commandments and bear fruit. In John 14, I'm going to be reading in John 14, 15 through 23. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. So far we have faith that produces transformation. We have abiding in God and in his word. And I believe if we're abiding in God, what his will is becomes our goal in life. So obviously if we're abiding in God's word, we start understanding what his wills are, what his will is for our lives, what his commandments are, what he would want us to do. And like it says in the first verse there I read, if you love me, keep my commandments. Sometimes we can look at people that are keeping the commandments of God and we can say, well, they feel that, like, we can almost feel like we're forced to keep the commandments of God, but really, us keeping the commandments of God is out of a love for Jesus, or it should be. That's what should drive us to keep the commandments of God. Someone that is connected to God, this is going to be their goal. It's going to affect, keeping the commandments of God is going to affect our lives. This becomes our goals. Our goals in life are going to be are going to line up with the commandments of God. And it starts with the first command, of course, the greatest command, where we love God with all our heart. And from there on, it dwindles down to how it affects our everyday lives, our relationships, our attitudes, our values. Everything is affected by the first or the greatest commandment there. And I had to think of the verse where it says that we are new creatures in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. That should be a reality if we're seeking first the kingdom of God in our lives. We should see a difference in what we are striving to accomplish in life, and what our goals are in life should change. And along with that, we'll be bearing fruit. I had to think, you know, it's not necessarily if we bear fruit or if we don't bear fruit, it's actually what type of fruit we're bearing. We are bearing fruit. It's just what type, what is coming out, what are we bearing? In Galatians 5, you have the verses that should be coming out of our lives. It's verses 22 through 26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So this is a picture of what fruit should be coming out of our lives if we're seeking God first. The whole list that I just read, and that's a pretty big challenge for me, is if I really stop and think what is coming out of my life as I'm living life, as I am interacting with people and situations arise. You know, pretty quickly, if I think over my life, a lot of times this isn't actually how I'm reacting to a lot of the situations that come. My first instinct wants to be, you know, the list that it gives before this, where it's like hatred and idolatry and all that strife. You know, my first reaction usually tends to be, well, I start worrying about how I'm going to deal with the situation instead of, well, who am I in Christ? And what has God done for me? And am I abiding in God to where what he says to me is what I'm going to do? I just love the picture that you should be getting out of a person that is connected to God. Just the list of fruits that this is going to radiate out of that person's life. It's going to stand out in the society we live in. Today, people aren't joyful when it's been raining for 2 weeks and we're wondering where the sun is. Everybody's sort of gloomy and complaining. You know, people, today it's not very popular to love your spouse and love your children. That's not a popular thing today. People tend to get upset and angry when situations aren't going their way. We're going through a fast food restaurant line and we're wondering, you know, we've been sitting here for 20 minutes. We tend to start getting impatient. We want to tend to honk our horn and say, hey, I got places to go. How are the fruits of the Spirit manifesting in your life? What type of fruit are you allowing to come out? Is it because of your connection with God is missing that maybe some of this stuff is coming out? If the wrong fruit is coming out, maybe check, all right, am I abiding in God? Am I spending that time with God and allowing him to flow through me? I had to think of a beautiful picture when Jesus was calling his disciples. One phrase that is common with all of them is they left everything and followed him. That's usually what, you know, when he went and asked them, come follow me, the next phrase that says is they left everything and followed him. And I think that's a beautiful picture of how someone that's seeking God first, they're willing to leave everything that they have or everything that they are doing and follow God. God is the number one priority in their lives. James has been saying in his sermons recently, the one thing, I don't know if you remember what it is, what's our primary reason for being here? Can somebody tell me what that is? Glorify God and enjoy him forever. And really, that's that should be our number one priority. That's what it means to seek God first. And if we're doing that, that means that we're abiding in him. We're spending time with him. Also had to think of the, let me see if I can find it here, my notes, the account of the rich young ruler. We had the disciples who gave up every, or were willing to give up everything and follow God. And then we have the account of the rich young ruler, where it says, I'll just skim over it a little bit here. He had come to Jesus and wondered what he can do to inherit eternal life. And, you know, Jesus told him about the commands. He went over some of the Ten Commandments. And the rich young ruler answered. Jesus said, well, I've kept them all my youth. But then Jesus told him, one thing you lack, go thy way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come take up the cross and follow me. And what was his reaction to that? It wasn't the same as the disciples where they dropped everything and followed God. But it was, he turned away, he was sad and went away because he had great possessions. So what was the difference there? To me, it was one person was willing to seek God first, and the other person had a hard time letting go of what he thought was important in his life. Something was hindering the rich young ruler from being able to let go of what was valuable to him. And so it is for me. Am I willing to surrender everything that is in my life and be willing to say, whatever it is, I'll follow you, and no matter what it is, I'll give it up for you. Also, right before that, the account of the rich young ruler, Jesus made an interesting statement. It was when he said this, but when they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that had brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hand upon them, and blessed them. So Jesus makes a statement here that if we want to enter the kingdom of God, we have to become like little children. And I'm not sure what all he meant by that, but just a couple of things that I had to think of was when you look at a child, the first thing I always think of is just the simple faith that they have in the one person that's taking care of them. They don't usually question you if you're going to give them the right amount of food or if the food that you're giving them is edible, or they don't question stuff like that. And also, just the next thing I always think about is just the total dependency that they have on their caregiver. They're totally relying on them to keep them alive, to keep them healthy. And so it is for us as we come to God. I think Jesus wants that simple faith. He wants us to be able to depend on him, not on our own strength. And too often, as we grow older, we tend to, for some reason, become self-reliant and want to become self-reliant. We want to feel like we have control of our lives. But Jesus said, if we want to enter the kingdom of God, we have to become like little children. We have to have that simple faith, the faith that changes our lives, changes the course of our life, and we also have to be dependent on him. And to be dependent on him, we have to abide in him, spend time with him, and have those episodes of sitting at Jesus' feet frequently. So these are just some of the things that God has been challenging me. I hope you're challenged with this. As you go on next week, just to do a check on your life. What's coming out of my life? Am I abiding in God? Am I taking the time to spend time in God's presence? Is that my number one goal, to seek God with all my heart? Is that what I'm living life for? All the things that I'm involved in, whether it's work or livelihood or whatever you're involved in, is everything you're doing, can you say you're doing it to the glory of God? And then also, what fruit is coming out of your life because of that? It's a good way to check where your goals are, what's coming out of your life when you enter situations. I want to leave you with this verse in Matthew 7:7-8. It says, "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." I know for myself, when I, even for studying for this for a little bit, you know, I feel like I failed a lot of times. And, you know, it looks big in front of me to get to this point. But I love the verses there that if you continue to ask, if you continue to seek, you knock, God will open the doors. God will lead you. He has promised that he wants to be our Father. He wants to lead us in these paths. So if you're feeling like you're discontent with where you're at in your spiritual life, that's actually probably a good thing, because we're supposed to be growing. We're never going to reach the level of where we're supposed to be, at least here on this earth. So use that discontentment to allow God to speak to you. And my biggest encouragement is take the time to abide in his word. Take the time to abide in his presence. I think that's the biggest challenge that I've been challenged with myself, is to, if that is important to me, it's going to be my number one thing that I will never allow anything else to take the place of. So keep seeking God, and I think he'll lead you to where he wants you to go. And I think that's all I'll share this morning. Why don't we pause for prayer yet? God, we just want to thank you for who you are. We thank you for your love to us. Thank you that you care about us and that you have a plan in mind for each one of us. Thank you that we can be called your children, and that you just want us to trust you. You want us to abide in your presence so that you can abide with us. And I pray for each individual here. I pray for the ones that might be struggling or discontent with where they're at in their spiritual life. I pray that they could find you and find your presence in their heart and their lives. And may we all seek to primarily and have our number one focus be on you, and to follow after you with our lives. We just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.